T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
All right, number one on what's trending, Bobby Witt Jr., Nick Prado promoted to AAA Omaha. They'll have their first game up with the Storm Chasers tomorrow. It's an afternoon game, actually, if you're thinking about trying to catch the first one. But the Storm Chasers at home all week. So we were even taking a look. I'll be honest, looked at hotels for Saturday, Omaha, maybe a little road trip to watch Bobby Witt.
We already did that Prado. Once.
We did it to Arkansas. This is an easier drive. This is 3 hours to Warner Park. Outside of Omaha.
Pretty tempting. I could technically go and come back after the game.
Ooh, that's...
You don't even have to get a hotel.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of that. Like I like, because I want to be able to drink at the game and stuff. Oh. I don't want to have to drive 3 hours back to KC after the game. So I want to be able to like drive down casually during the day Saturday, go to the game, go out and drink, and then then drive back Sunday morning. I looked at it. I'm thinking. I looked at hotels and everything. I got that far. Tickets are still available, of course, for the game.
We do still have some Bobby Witt Jr. T-shirts.
We do.
I was kind of saving them for something else, but, you know, I don't know. We went up to Omaha.
Tempting.
With us.
I had a lot of people, I'm sure you did as well, on Twitter last night saying, oh, they already bought tickets. I had someone mention that they're taking their under-8 baseball team up to Omaha awesome. To watch the game. So people are going to check it out. Look, it's a step closer, man. It's a step closer to Bobby Witt Jr. being with
those,
the Royals.
Those Bobby Witt Jr. shirts are so popular. I had a local T-shirt company. I don't know if they're local, but I think they're local. They do local-made shirts. They asked if I wanted to sell the design on their site. So just so you know, there might be a little profit in this Bobby Witt Jr. T-shirt after we get rid of the free ones.
Does Bobby Witt Jr. have a Bobby Witt Jr. T-shirt?
I doubt it. This might be the only they have a Bobby. This site has a Bobby Witt Jr. T-shirt, but now
but he doesn't have. But his
your
own
shirt,
stuff.
No, your shirt, the but shirt no. that you guys
oh, no,
made.
I don't think so. We tried to get him one, but we haven't gotten him one yet. Time, give us time. Actually, you know what? We should probably just send it down to our guy Jake Eisenberg.
Yeah,
tell him to go and hook him up for that for a little post game interview shot. Hey, man, we just wanted to get this in the hands of Bobby Witt Jr.
We should probably ship a shirt up to the Storm Chasers and have them give one to Bobby Witt.
This is why Nick's here. Nick makes sense.
This is right.
Next up on What's Trending, Sporting Kansas City news on both ends. First, Peter Vermes and two players apparently are in COVID protocol, although he said 100% of their team are vaccinated. He says he's not sure whether or not he'll be on the sideline for Wednesday's game against San Jose. They are also patiently awaiting the transfer for Gianluca Busio. A player who came up in Sporting Kansas City system, they brought up at a very early age. The reports this weekend from Taylor Twellman are Sporting Kansas City could be looking at $10.5 to $11 million in transfer fees for Busio. That is a huge payday. I know if you're a Sporting Kansas City fan, you could be like, oh, it's like the Royals back in the 90s or early 2000s. You're like, oh, don't want to pay to keep their good players. But this is the way soccer works. And just so you know, $11 million funded into Sporting Kansas City can keep them at the top of the table for the MLS for years. That kind of money can fund a lot of great players.
Did you notice that, Nick? He snuck
That's
in.
That's the right word.
I know it is, but you snuck in table real smooth. Like, I'm going to say it. No, you're right. I love the table. It. You just snuck that in real quick. Make sure, you know?
And he's the right terminology.
Uh-huh. That's right.
I don't want to, you know, offend. We've had Peter Vermes in the show multiple times.
We have.
Maybe we should try for him again later in the week.
No question.
Either way, man, Busio's going to be sad, but he played really good for the U.S. men's team, and it happens. This is what happens in soccer.
This is what's always going to happen if you're an MLS club and you develop the talent that he is. This is always the end. But this is a good thing, by the way.
Like, it is.
I know we're bummed out, but it's a good thing about the development of Sporting Kansas City and their program and reinvestment and all of that.
And like, their academy and the whole
question.
Thing.
Next up on What's Trending, of course, the Open over the weekend, or the British Open that I still call it, was taking place. And how about Colin Morikawa, who continues to just play at an extremely high level and accomplish things that only Tiger Woods had accomplished in terms of his age and winning multiple majors. He gets the win. I felt bad for Oosthuizen. Again, this guy just is unbelievable. He comes up just short every major, it seems like. I mean, seriously. And I was rooting for Spieth a little bit as well, but Colin Morikawa, who seems like a really nice guy, won the PGA Championship last year, I think it was.
Yeah.
And was it PGA? Yeah, PGA over in the Bay Area.
So, just the sixth golfer ever to win two majors before 25. Golf is loaded with young talent. They just don't have one dominant talent, but they have tons of young talent.
66 in round four, in the final round. So, yeah, he's something special, and it was cool to see Brooks Koepka congratulate him, and then as we talked on Friday, Brooks Koepka
take shots at the driver
at Bryson DeChambeau, who can just not help himself and get out of his own way at this point in time.
I'm enjoying it personally. Lastly, on what's trending, two preseason Blues games are coming to the Independence Event Center. Just so you know, the Blues announced their preseason schedule for the upcoming season. So in October, you want to catch some actual NHL hockey? Congrats, you can do so over at the Mavericks Stadium.
That's cool.
In Independence. That's awesome. If you haven't seen NHL Hockey Live, let me tell you something you're missing out on. NHL Hockey Live is incredible. It's so much faster than you give it credit for. And I've watched the Mavericks. It's a very entertaining product. I'd encourage you to go watch games there. NHL level hockey live, sitting up against the glass. That's something you should experience.
That's the only sport at that level that I have never seen. That's
so you've seen NBA.
I've seen NBA.
Seen MLB,
yep.
NFL, sure.
I have not. And I've gone to minor league hockey and stuff like that. I have never gone to an NHL game. I was want to go to a Vegas Golden Knights game out in Vegas, but maybe I need to go to a little, even though it's preseason, maybe I need to do that.
Are the Blues your squad? I've never decided on NHL squad. No. I feel like I should choose
Vegas Golden Knights. I got a Vegas Golden Knights shirt. That's who I adopted.
I own one shirt, so they're my team.
I decided to try to pick up on one team.
I should just be like somebody else.
I want to point out my Vegas Golden Knights shirt was purchased before they made it to the Stanley Cup a couple years ago in their first year. They were the closest NHL team at the time for where I was living. So I went with them. So there you go. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, though, to follow the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. Listen now with the Odyssey app. So I think you are like a small fraction of Royals fans when it comes to this player and his comments. So Hunter Dozier was speaking to Alec Lewis over at The Athletic and was pretty open about this season. Look, he'll be the first one to tell you. He is about the type of season that Hunter Dozier has had. Had a nice game the other day, four hits, has played better as of late.
Much better.
Right?
Yeah.
His comments after the game, he talked about opening day thumb injury, how he irresponsibly let that affect the first 3 months of the year and said that caused him to create some bad habits. You're buying what he's saying. I'm not saying he's lying by any means. I'm buying what he's saying. I just am going to hold back on the problem solved, no worries anymore. I can't go there. Look, I hope that's the case. Frankly, the Royals need him to figure it out, not just this year, but for next year, whether he's playing first base, third base, whatever it may be. They gave him an extension. I know it's not a massive contract extension, but they just signed this guy to a contract extension. He needs to figure it out. So, yeah, I mean, of course, I'm rooting for him to do so. I'm just not going to say, problem solved at this point.
Worth over the last month of games, so 23 games, so mid-June-ish, so I'm going about a month or so in time. So June 20th, because a couple of games missing there, but June 20th through now, July 18th. Small sample size, but 23 games. He's hitting .304 with a .356 on base percentage, a .456 slug, .812 OPS. You probably didn't think it was that good, did you? Still a few too many strikeouts, still a few too many walks. Some of the things you would expect with Hunter Dozier. But he's been a largely very decent player over the month and a half. I think he's telling the truth. And that makes me happy for Hunter Dozier. It makes me more confident that maybe you can count on him as being a regular part of your lineup going into next year, which I thought was starting to wane a little bit. I don't think he's a perfect player, but I do think there's a lot of reason why Hunter Dozier works in the lineup. Here's where we can go negative for a minute, because that's a real positive outlook for the Royals. Why did they let him play for 3 months as a miserable player if he was hurt? Why wouldn't they just let Olivares play, for instance, or some of the other players that were available to them? My issue here is that the Royals or whoever made this kind of decision to allow Hunter Dozier to keep digging in. why is it that we do nothing but talk about the confidence of players when we get them called up and all this? And Hunter Dozier's got a bad thumb with bad habits, playing bad baseball for 3 months before you have a seemingly a problem with it and allow him to get out of it. If he's saying he was hurt, maybe you didn't tell him the extent of the injury or whatever it is. There was a missing step. He shouldn't have been playing during that time if that was the level of baseball player you got. And he has played well for the last month or so.
It appears that at the very least, he should have had a longer stint on the IL. I don't know if I didn't take his comments as if he was hurt for 3 months. I took it as he probably could have been on IL a little bit longer to get right. And then he came back sooner, wasn't healthy immediately.
And then it forced him into bad habits.
Adjusted his swing, bad habits, and he never got out of those bad habits. I didn't take it as he was hurt for 3 months.
When he got those bad habits, they should have sent him down or done whatever. He was broken.
When he was struggling, I think a lot of people had acknowledged like it would pay off for him to probably go ahead, and he's got an option. Even though you gave him an extension, go ahead and let him work on it down in AAA. That obviously didn't happen. Whether it was because the team, the way they were performing in April at that point at a very high level, and they felt like, no, let's keep this thing rolling. We can get past this despite the thumb injury and all that. Yeah, it looks like to some extent it might have been botched, but I don't think he was hurt for 3 months. They need him to get right. I hope what we've seen the last month is how he can continue to finish out the second half of the season. But overall, I will still have questions again about next year for Hunter Dozier, because heading into this year, I think when we did our preseason predictions, I was on the numbers. I took a bunch of overs on Hunter Dozier.
You know, lost all those.
Those all were disastrous. My point being, we had questions coming in, and I put them on, hey, he had COVID the year before, right? And he had some bad luck with the injury the year before that. So next year, none of those like excuses or anything like that, that we're not saying he made those excuses, but just what people would say, none of that should apply anymore. Like next year, I will have questions and expect him immediately to be contributing at a high level.
Correct.
And so if that final month and a half, 2 months of this season gives me more confidence, I guess it could. I just need to see it way more, Cody, before I'm willing to say, all right, well, then that's all it was all year. He was just hurt, and that's something that we've said two or three times about Dozier. So I need to see it for another full season.
Sure,
again.
But to me, this is a lot like Benintendi. The reason why you should trust that he'll be a capable major league player is that his entire career goal when he plays is he capable major league player. He's not this. He's not a bad baseball player when he plays in his career. He's a perfectly fine baseball player. He's an average baseball player. He's okay. Nobody said superstar Hunter Dozier ready to mash through the league, because I've never thought of him that way. I just thought he had a place in a lineup, especially once he started to show at least some versatility, a willingness to play third or outfield or first, because they're going to need that going forward, especially depending on if Mondesi's ever going to be healthy and Nicky Lopez's need to play more. As a result of those things, they need Dozier to be flexible. His career leading up to this point was of a perfectly average baseball player. That's what I think he's showing now over the last month since he has been healthy. Still, for me, is more organizationally, or whether he was lying to them. Why did they let him keep digging into this hole? And maybe their argument now would be like, well, look, he fixed himself, right? I just told you, the last 23 games, he's hitting .300 with a .360 on base percentage. We told you he'd come out of it eventually. I'm like, it's like 50 games later. That's too many. You can't let someone come out of it for 50 games. If someone's in a 10-game slump where they're 0 for their last 27 and Hunter Dozier's been a largely decent baseball player, then fine. But he was way worse than that. I think he has a place. But again, I think their problem right now is they're kind of an older team, and I don't know that they've had a solution for anything. Maybe they fixed Hunter Dozier, but how many problems have they solved this year? We said that earlier, but how many problems have they solved?
No, there's more questions,
Singer's
Cody.
Had problems. Have they fixed it? No. Dozier, no. Mondesi, no. They haven't solved any problems. Maybe Nicky, when he was struggling early on?
I want to see what the next month looks like on that. But yeah, he's had a fantastic first half of the season. Talking about Nicky Lopez.
He's your second most valuable player, according to
WAR. I have more questions now than I did at the beginning of the season. A wide variety. Yeah. And certainly the questions that we were hoping to get answered with the pitching staff don't appear to be ones that will get answered. And we were kind of going through last week about the second half of the season. What would you like? I mean, Kowar and Lynch, we would like some questions answered about them, if that's still possible for this year. Chris Bubich, bullpen guy, starter. Bubich, of course, came in the other night, looked really good in relief again, and gave them, you know, ate up some innings for them. But is he a starter next year? Is he a bullpen guy? I don't think we definitively, you may have an opinion on it, but definitively know if he's a guy in the rotation or bullpen.
You don't.
So yeah, and just look, let's be honest. Like, we're all excited about Witt and Prado getting called up to AAA. That's exciting news, because it means they're a step closer to helping out this big league club next year, and hopefully getting called up here this year as well to give us something to look forward to. But this team just lost a series to the Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles, who, by the way, traded for Kelvin Gutierrez and started yesterday against the Royals. The Baltimore Orioles,
they
who
also
threw
let
out Matt
Harvey
deal. Out there. And I was going to the game with people yesterday, and they're like, oh, who's pitching? I'm like, oh, Matt Harvey. He sucks. The Royals are going to score a bunch of runs today. He's got a 7-point-something ERA. What does he do? He pitches like six shutout innings against the Royals. Jorge Lopez, the night before, outpitches Brady Singer. Like, just a pathetic weekend series to open up the second half of the season. And so while the Prado news and Witt news is exciting, let's not forget what just occurred this weekend. That was an embarrassing loss. An Orioles team that they weren't, quote-unquote, trying to win this year. The Royals have been. And you just got a series loss to the Baltimore Orioles.
In particular, it's just like Harvey had been so bad going into that game. It's like he's got a 6 earned run average on the season anyway. But it was like coming into that, over his last like 8 starts, it was like 9. Yeah. He had just been so bad.
It just can't happen. The season, I've moved on to 2022. We all did that, or most of us did at least a while back. But just, I still expect when you're playing the Baltimore Orioles, the second worst team in baseball. Now, you've been the 5th worst team in baseball. I still expect you to go out and win a series when they've got Matt Harvey and Jorge Lopez being thrown out there. This shouldn't be happening, Cody. The Royals, say what we will about them this year, they have too much talent still on the roster for them to be losing series against the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay, well, then that's a Matheny problem. Like, he's the one who's supposed to keep his team motivated. You could say it's leaders on the team thing, too. They obviously are in charge of that.
We
always say the manager's most important job is to make sure that, you know, the team is together on this. And if you're coming out that flat after an all-star break, after a disappointing first half, and you tell us, this is his own fault, you say, prepare for a special story in the second half, and you come out flat against the Orioles right away, hard to get the warm and fuzzies about it.
Yeah.
I said on the
list of complaints, I think, you know, Dayton Moore is higher on the list this year than Mike Matheny, but, you know, there's blame all the way around. I mean, it's clearly blame all the way around.
Oh, that's how you'd rank it?
Yeah. Matheny's lower on the list than Dayton Moore for this year.
There's some players on the list above either, but if you're just saying or Matheny, let's see, this is.
Yeah. Dayton higher on the list for this year and the struggles than I would put Mike Matheny.
I agree, but it's not that far apart. And I told you, like, in the early part of the season, you're like, I was not, I have admitted before, not a fan of the Matheny hire to start, but I had seen some positive moments. I thought last year the team played pretty good considering the circumstances, and he seemed to hold them together, and then they started off hot at the beginning part of this year, Gold, and I thought, okay, like, maybe I've misconfigured this. And then you watch this part and you're like, okay, maybe, we'll see. I might need some more time on this one after all. This is why you don't make snap judgments either way.
After a full 162, which is what we're going to get of Mike Matheny this year. I mean, next year, I'm just saying, that's what I was getting
to. Sure.
Next year, there will be way more pressure on people, a closer eye on him in particular.
Correct.
And all the way around. I mean, certainly Dayton Moore, people already are talking about that. But just in terms of Mike Matheny for next season, a full 162, right? The 60-game thing was one deal, whatever. 162 this year. Next year, people will be more locked into, all right, on a daily basis, what he's doing, than this year.
And we might not put much stock into September baseball. Chiefs will be playing by then. They've already beaten the Browns or whatever we're going to do. So, like, September baseball might not matter that much in this town. And I don't blame you for the way that this team has played. And you might look at it and be like, oh, wow, winning record in September. And you do the golf.
We've been through this how many
Snoopy
times?
The Snoopy cheers at school when you're not supposed to clap, right? What? Isn't that what they called them?
The what?
Am I the only? Didn't they call that?
Hold on, the what? The Snoopy?
Snoopy? I think that's what my teacher
is that a
it.
Thing? Snoopy tears?
Snoopy
or ears?
Clap. Say clap.
Snoopy.
It was something like that.
You're just doing jazz hands.
It was, but it was, but a close fist.
It was
close fist. It was important. It wasn't this.
I typed
it wasn't jazz
in Snoopy
hands.
Clap, and okay. It's
well. Then it was clearly just my teacher who called it that.
Snoopy's clap. His hands are just together.
Well, I don't know. It was silent. Was the point? And our teacher used to make us do that. That's clearly just a me thing. I thought maybe that was more of a
text
Midwest
line,
thing.
Let us know. Snoopy clap.
But apparently that was just her. The point being, we can silent clap or golf clap, which is what I should have stuck with. Okay. Like, congrats for winning. It does, I think, mean a little bit of something about Matheny. I'm not going to say it about this team's ability to win next year, but it will tell me something about Matheny's ability to keep it. The only problem being, I've watched bad managers who got fired for the Royals have good Septembers. So how much weight? Some, but not all.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get into a little bit on Bobby Witt and Nick Prado and what it means actually for the timeline and just how the organization has viewed bringing these guys up, and maybe you disagree on how it's gone. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But one thing I thought has been funny throughout the weekend has been the conversation around Space Jam 2, the new legacy, the new Space Jam movie.
Have you seen it?
I watched it last night at 10 o'clock. I was like, I need to watch this finally before we talk about it today. And the movie itself, look, I actually had no problem with it. It's a kid's movie. I'm always going to like the original. Because I
that was your childhood.
That was my childhood. And then also I was comparing the highlight montage from LeBron and Michael Jordan, the way they went about it. They tried to replicate it. And like the MJ one was just better. The music was a little better. The soundtrack wasn't awful in this new Space Jam, but look, I'm biased.
You probably just don't know that music because you didn't dance to 100%. Like you did the Quad City DJs.
100%. Basketball Jones, all of it.
You owned many Jock Jam CDs, probably.
No question.
Which is that entire soundtrack, essentially.
But you would have thought the movie was just horrific the way some people were talking. Okay. It was fine. My nephews went to, I believe they enjoyed it. Like, Space, no problem with the movie. It is what it is. It's not nobody said it was ever going to be a classic. Even the way I feel like Space Jam original one, in a way, kind of my childhood was. I don't think it'll be that level, but for some kid that's 8 years old,
it might be.
What's been funny to me, though, is either people are using it as a way to just crush LeBron, like, that have always not liked LeBron. Like, see, I saw people trying to say, well, Giannis should have been in Space Jam, not LeBron and all this stuff because of his... First of all, we have no idea how Giannis would act, okay? You think he's going to be any better? I love Giannis, but let's relax a little bit. So people were using it as a way to crush LeBron, or it's been the LeBron lovers going way out of their way to let us know how big the numbers were at the box office and all these other things. It's a kid's movie.
Because it like beat Let's out Black Widow. I think Carrington actually pointed that out.
So many people.
Like, you're not singling him out individually?
No. So many people. But it is funny how people on either way have just gone overboard of using it as a method to crush LeBron, like he was supposed to win an Oscar for this. And then on the other end...
Kobe won an Oscar?
He did. And then you had people on the other side, like using it as a way to prop up LeBron more. It's just funny to me. It's a children's movie.
What a weird thing to try to enter into a basketball debate. Whether or not you liked LeBron James's performance in Space Jam 2. This has no bearing on his or Jordan's career, right?
I think it's kind of inappropriate for adults to review children's movies. Like, we're not qualified. We're not the target audience.
But what if I have kids? Am I allowed to then judge it? Because I watched a lot of kids' movies.
Why don't you get them on for a review? Go home tonight. Mm. Ask them what they think.
Okay, so, to be clear, Ruby has seen the original Space Jam, as we have proven earlier in this show. She's already seen the original. So, I could let her watch it and just see which one she prefers. That doesn't seem outlandish. She could just decide, is that enough of a review? Which one did you like better?
Isn't that more valuable than a bunch of grown men reviewing that's a movie made for children?
That's what I said. Like, my nephews liked it. If your kids like it, or your, you know, if the kids like the Space Jam, that's who they were trying to entice to continue to want to go see the movie. I know the parents make the decision, but I know multiple people that went with their kids to the movie, then their kids wanted to see it again so bad, then they watched it on HBO Max at home as well. That's all that matters. It's an okay movie. It's what you would expect. I don't know what people were hoping for.
I just think inserting it into a basketball debate does not make any sense.
I don't think it was a basketball debate.
But they're trying to, because they're like, he's worse at Jordan at everything.
It turns into that. A lot of it, though, like without going down the political road, there's so many people that just don't like LeBron anyway, and this was a way for them to find another reason not to like him, or say, see, this is why he's not good.
He ruined my childhood.
Not even on the basketball
movie.
End. That's just people don't like LeBron. Like, there's a certain website out there that uses it as a way to just trash LeBron because that's what they love to do. I mean, there's just stuff like that happens on a regular basis, and they're using a children's movie to do it.
He's out here acting with Daffy Duck. I mean, it can't be that easy.
Imagine if your daughter loved it and you said, well, listen, sweetie, you see, Michael went 6-0 in the finals, so...
Like Don Cheadle is
the Elmer Fudd I remember as a kid.
I thought the bad guy was good. His role as the bad guy was good.
Cheadle?
Yeah.
It's tough to beat the mob boss from the original one guy, but I'm sure he's a perfectly fine.
What was it? Moron Mountain or whatever. Yeah, like I love.
But that's also because it's my childhood.
I know, but I still am biased to it. But it was fun. Like,
Newman from Seinfeld makes it a cameo. Yeah. Bill Murray saves the day.
I did think, well, I don't want to spoil this one. Can I? I mean, is it spoiled?
It's Space Jam, yeah. too. You can like, probably
unless
spoil.
There are 7-year-olds listening, I think you're fine.
Spoiler
the
alert.
Dame Time part was funny to me. I thought it was funny how they did for Damian Lillard, the Dame Time, and they rolled back the clock. I thought it was pretty funny. There were a few, every once in a while, there was a few like,
what's that spoil, little, by the way? I don't chuckles. Even know what any.
Well, I've said, I don't
in context of the movie, that means nothing to me.
Yeah, I mean, so. I mean, also, I don't feel like you can spoil a movie too much like Space Jam. Like, let's be honest. We all know that, of course,
does the Toon Squad win?
Of course. Spoiler, LeBron did. Spoiler, LeBron actually won. I know, shocking.
He got his family back?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to go the other way.
Part. See, that part's a little too much of the plot there, man.
They include that in the trailer.
That's a little too much.
I haven't seen it. I only know that based on having seen the trailer. I can't spoil things for you. The studio already spoiled.
Text line says, I thought it was going to suck, but I laughed a few times at the jokes. Also love the Rick and Morty cameo. Yeah, there were some moments. It was perfectly fine is how I would describe it.
Okay.
You should see, your kids need to see that if they saw the original.
Do we have time for, I will. I'll show it. Trust me. I'll get, they'll like be acting insane. I'll be like, yeah, you want to Space Jam 2? Sounds great. Let's
Cody's been bugging Nick and I even last commercial break. He said he missed something else he wants to talk about.
Yeah, 30 sorry. More seconds, can I have 30 more seconds,
30
please?
More seconds on the clock.
Why wouldn't they talk more about Salvador Perez's home run derby performance? I know that we all went down this road, but why? They did one single solitary player interview in the entire home run derby. And they started asking him about like his grade school projects during it versus the fact that Salvador Perez was hitting 28 home runs in an opening round. This was, remember, I think my biggest issue with it was this was our moment where like, hey, he can do big things in a home run derby, he can do these big things, he can have this moment, and all of these things help him towards the eventual Hall of Fame. I think Salvador Perez will have a chance to be in it. Instead, they ripped him off by talking to Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I've settled down and I've gotten over it at this point. Hopefully you don't get me,
You were hot?
Yeah, was not happy about how that took place. Was not
he
happy.
28
at all.
Home runs. He was hitting bombs. Apparently, the Jason Benetti broadcast for the Statcast version was much better. I regret not watching that. I'm just mad. That's all. You said I only have 30 seconds. I cut myself off.
There's your 30.
I do have like 6 more things I'd like to get.
We'll
to.
We'll see if we can get to those before we get off the air today. Coming up next, Bobby Witt, Nick Prado. They're heading to AAA. What does it mean about the development of the organization? And now do we have a better timeline? We'll try to dissect that next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Cody and Gold, full crew finally back together. Also a new addition, Nick Schwert. We'll get to that during the random question of the day. Nick Schwert, our new producer.
I learned something about Nick.
On Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Nick Schwert with you. We'll get to the random question of the day, as I said, about Nick Schwert, actually. Has to do with something that happened over the weekend. So that's here in just a little bit. But we're a step closer to Bobby Witt Jr. And for that matter, maybe Nick Prado as well, making it to the big leagues, as both of them have been called up to AAA Omaha. Their first game will be tomorrow for the Storm Chasers. And a lot of Royals fans have been trying to figure out, oh, maybe a way to go see Bobby Witt Jr. if you didn't go down to Arkansas. Well, the Storm Chasers will be home all week long starting tomorrow and heading into the weekend. So I already know plenty of Royals fans that have tweeted at us that are going to try to make the trip up there. So an opportunity to watch Bobby Witt Jr. But what's exciting about this was the next kind of obstacle. I know some people, and including yourself,
I'd have been fine if you went straight to the
bigs. Go straight to the big leagues. I get it. There's a couple reasons why I don't think that happened. And obviously now we know like that is what's going
to
happen.
We know how they operate.
One, there is the COVID part of it. MLB rules, they do have to spend at least, is it a week, 5 days, something like that in AAA, like just because of the way they go about their testing. So no matter what, they were going to have to spend at least 5 days. I don't suspect that this is just a 5-day call up.
No.
It could be a month. It could be more. It could be a little bit less. We know Eric Hosmer spent 28 games in AAA. they surpassed what they could do at Double A already. Both Bobby Witt and Nick Prado. Now, batting average-wise, because of the slower start, it's not above 300. Although, man, since the first week when we were down there in Arkansas.
Since then, it's been well over 300 with an OPS over 1,000.
His final Double-A numbers were for Bobby Witt, 295. The guy had 16 home runs and a 570 slugging. And if you look at...
And 1,100 OPS. I think I'll, like, live with that.
Yeah. So Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado both had surpassed what they needed to do in Double-A. So they get the call-up and all that. I do think the Royals have shown as an organization that they kind of have this formula of going through all levels, essentially, of their minor league system before calling these guys up. And I know Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the highest rated prospects the Royals organization has ever had. You and I were talking before the show, essentially, it's the last one would be Will Myers as far as on a national, league level in terms of top prospect. So I get it. You could say he's a little bit different. I have no problem with them going with this approach. And to me, the lack of success at the big league level with the club this year, I know some people will view it differently, but based on this year's lack of MLB success, to me, there's no reason to skip or would not have been a reason to skip the normal process they have as an organization. This team was 10 games above 500, the Royals were, and you're saying, man, they need a bat, but the trade market's not going to work out. We're not willing to commit that, whatever. You just need a bat? I'd say, well, there's a bat. He's in Double A. Call him up. Let's go. There's not that pressure to do it because go through your steps. This big league season in 2020-2021 isn't going to happen the way we all hoped it would. Yeah, I want him called up to the big leagues, but I'll let him go through the process. Now, if he's tearing it up in AAA the way he was in AA for 2 weeks, yeah, I'll be one of the first people in line on August the 5th, August the 10th, saying, all right, what else does he need to do? He's kicking ass in AAA as well. What are we waiting for? I'll be right there with you. But right now, I am fine with, all right, let's see how this goes. And if it needs to be a month, it needs to be a month.
I mean, there's 100 games for Moose. So it really varies, obviously, pretty wildly based on performance. And I'm sure we're going to have J.J. Pecola, the Royals assistant general manager, on tomorrow. I'm sure he'll say it'll be up to them, right? That's the
sure.
That's either the company line or that's just a general thought, which is true, right? If Bobby Wood Jr. gets to AAA and hits 150, that they're not going to call him up.
I hope in the first game tomorrow afternoon. What if he just hits like a home run and has just three RBIs?
It's not, that's not crazy. He's incredibly talented.
That's what he's been doing down at Double A.
That probably is going to be what he did. We had to stop, like we gave away the Bobby Witt Jr. or the Cody and Gold t-shirts for Whit Merrifield home runs. If we had been giving away the Witt shirts, we still have the Bobby Witt Jr. shirts we still have available for every Bobby Witt Jr. home run, we would have had to more printed by now.
Yeah, those are going to be under lock and key here pretty soon. I feel like the Bobby Witt Jr. t-shirts.
Yeah, it's closer and closer.
That box is getting a little smaller and smaller at this point.
We're working on maybe some more because we got some big plans for when Bobby Witt Jr. does make it to the bigs, even though it's not right now. Per my, my preference on that end. The most interesting part about this to me is why together? In no other stage in my mind were they explicitly tied together. Yes, they played at the offsite together. Yes, they ended up being a Double-A together. But they were never thought of as the same level of prospect in my mind. Bobby Wood Jr. is always like superstar, right? Top 10 guy in all of Major League Baseball. Nick Prado was always top 10 guy in your system, but had fallen in hard times and had shown some struggles. Wood Jr. never did that. They weren't in the same draft class. It's fascinating to me that they put them together. To me, that means they're planning on them being up together. They're hitching them a little bit together like they did, like you said, with at least its stages, those guys like Hosmer and Moose. Let's pair them up. Let's get them comfortable. So it's almost like they have an ally when they get called up. So they're comfortable. So they know someone. So they know what's going on. This is something we'll ask J-Day tomorrow. But the fact that they're calling them up together means when there are two open roster spots, when September rosters expand and it only goes from 26 to 28 anymore, that's about the number where I'm targeting. If you're saying, when do I think Bobby Wood Jr. is going to get called up? Probably right after rosters expand in September. When they got those two open spots, and they can do it with Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado together. Because the only other options in there are around July 31st, when they have fully adapted their roster to look slightly different. But I don't think it's going to be that early.
Yeah, but I could also see a scenario, despite them both being called up to AAA together, and certainly performance will dictate a lot of this. But if one of them, in this case, we'll say it's Bobby Witt Jr., is tearing it up, and let's say there's a little bit of a struggle for a week or two or 3 weeks of Nick Prado, I think a scenario still exists where Bobby Witt Jr. gets called up, and then Nick Prado doesn't get the call up until September, perhaps. Both these guys,
but to
me, though,
too
next
tied
year
together now.
Well, they to this level to AAA, but as we know, it's a whole different scenario when you're talking getting called up. Are they ready for the big leagues? Talking about more so on Nick Prado in this example, not Bobby Witt.
And yeah, so I'm less high on him because I want to see it longer.
Yeah, and look, Nick Prado. I mean, it's great for him to have this turnaround in a short period of time from where he was a couple years ago. He was on the show last week and talked about the year off essentially that he had a lot of work he put in to get to this point, and he's had a really nice season. Yes, he was once a first round pick of the Royals organization back in 2017. They're both also, as going through the levels, they both were roommates in Northwest Arkansas. I would assume they'll probably end up being roommates in AAA. So I think there's to your point about being comfortable and familiar, that works at a certain level. I don't know if that is how they would view it when it comes time to deciding if someone's ready or not to make it to the big leagues. I don't think they're going to say, oh yeah, Bobby Witt, you're good to go, but we're going to wait one more week till Nick might feel like it. We're going to call you both at the same time. I think that works in the minors. I don't think that'll play it. That matters at the big league level as much. That's just me personally. We can ask JJ for sure tomorrow, just kind of how they viewed them. As far as,
I mean, they
how
were
you
both performing
Prado,
well enough at AA to get promoted to AAA.
But it's
funny they did it at the same time.
As far as, you know, going forward with Prado, I mean, these are also two guys, not only Bobby Witt, but Nick Prado now, where if you start looking to the future of next year and roster spots and who could play where, I mean, if Nick Prado continues to perform, Nick Prado's absolutely a candidate in spring training next year to be battling for a first base job for the Royals, which is not something
especially
any of us would have said.
Especially at the trade deadline with Carlos Santana.
Yep. Hunter Dozier, is he a first baseman next year? Is he your DH
He's
next
wherever.
Year?
He's wherever. Don't hold
he can
spot
play,
for him.
He can play third base, obviously, as well. I mean, so these are options that they have with these two guys. I mean, these are the two guys other than Kowar and Lynch that we're all focused in on right now.
No, I think it's a fascinating move for them. I would have been fine if they just moved him up. I don't see a difference. If it's only going to be 40 games in AAA, he could just play those in the bigs and we'd all be the same. To me, there's just no way you can actually justify me. And I've been around a baseball a long time, not nearly as much as JJ or Dayton or John Sherman or some of the scouting department. I understand that. But I followed baseball long enough to understand you're going to have a hard time convincing me 40 games in AAA is going to be the reason why Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't crack under the pressure in the big leagues. He is either talented enough to do this or not, right? That's it. Like, it's just, it's either going to work or it's not. The extra time that Whit Merrifield spent in the minor leagues is not the reason he was successful. I've asked him that, by the way. Obviously, he does not agree with that notion. That's not shocking, but it's just, that's not going to be the difference between why Bobby Witt Jr. becomes the kind of player we think he can be or the type of player he ends up becoming either way, whether it be that player or something below
that
player.
Well, this is why if he's up there for 2 weeks. We're sitting here 2 weeks from now, and Bobby Witt Jr. has got 5 home runs, and he's hitting .330. I'm going to be there right with you,
banging
saying,
the drum,
all right,
saying,
what
just
are we
do
doing?
It. Let's just do it.
I'm with you, right? And I hope that's the
especially
case.
Especially by July 31st, because then the roster's wide open. They technically don't have either of those guys on the 40-man roster, so I understand that there are moves that have to be made, but
There's a couple moves.
I can find room on the 40-man roster on the major league roster.
Yeah, there's two moves right now. I think we come to, if you need to, you know, Soler and Wade Davis. Boom. Okay, congrats. Two spots are opened up.
Would you have ever thought Wade Davis would have made it this long?
No. No.
Honestly, kudos. He's on the IL now.
He's reinstated now. He's available. He just doesn't pitch.
Here's one thing that we should quickly get off our chest. If you've been one of the multiple people who have added me on Twitter on the text, I'd be like, oh, I hope the Royals enjoyed the cash they got because Alcides Escobar is enjoying some success in Nationals. What future did he have here?
Yeah, who cares?
He wasn't going to be the starting shortstop for the next decade again.
Good for Alcides.
I'm happy Escobar is succeeding.
Get his service time, right? He's in 10 years, and you got everybody's favorite cash considerations. You know?
The Royals are 20 games under .500. Escobar wasn't going to save the day flying in on his magic carpet. That wasn't the solution.
There was a small part of me that wanted to see one more AB in a Royals uniform, but that I'm okay. I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
I've been fine to see him one more game in the Royals uniform. All I'm hoping for now is that he gets to the 80 games he needs in order to get 10 years of service time in the big leagues. We can have a party on this show if he gets it. I genuinely hope that he gets to the 10 years because he deserves it, and he stuck around baseball for a long time to try to earn it. But the idea that somehow, like, there are a lot of things to complain about with the Royals, like, you know, the Hunter Dozier extension or the way that he's performed or how they handled the roster or development or some of the, like, there are a lot of things to nitpick about this year where the team has not had the success they were supposed to have yet. Trading off Alcides Escobar, who they signed for nothing for cash to the Nationals, ain't it? Like, that's not the one.
Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Nick. And over on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, of course, the random question of the day. Brought to you by The Window Source of Kansas City. Nick, I happen to see you went to Salt Lake City for a concert. It was Garth Brooks, to be specifically, with your girlfriend. I just want to know, what's the farthest you will travel to go to a show? We know Nick's is at least Salt Lake City. I think the farthest I've ever personally gone is either Chicago or Denver. I do not think I've gone any further than I, and I don't even think I was intending to travel for the concert. More, we were going to travel, saw a concert we might like was there, and then went. I'm not going as far as Salt Lake.
I can't believe you went to Salt Lake City with your girlfriend to see Garth Brooks.
Well,
huge Garth fan over here.
No,
apparently,
here's the thing. Going into the show, I could name one Garth Brooks song, and it's the
Friends
ones
in Low Places.
Exactly. And I realized throughout the show, I knew many more Garth Brooks songs. But
you had a great time.
So you didn't even know the concert that well?
Oh, absolutely not.
So this was a girlfriend trip.
Sure,
like she,
yeah.
This was all her.
Exactly. We wanted to go to the one in Kansas City. Schedules wouldn't allow that. So Salt Lake City was the most, we thought, to be attractive option.
I can't imagine that.
But it's further for both of you.
So get this. We're in line. She goes to the restroom. She says, hey, can you go get us a couple of beers? I say, sure. I get in line. And it's sort of that realization, that epiphany that you see in the movies where the music gets really tense and they zoom in on my face and I look to the left and I look to the right and I realize there are hundreds of people here and none of them have a beer in their hands.
Welcome to Salt Lake City.
I tap the guy on the shoulder and I say, hey, do they serve booze in here? Like, he was waiting for me to ask the question. He goes, nope, they sure don't. And they're kicking people out if they catch them sneaking
booze. Yeah, it's very, very serious.
At a Garth Brooks
concert?
Yeah,
but it's I mean, it's not, but that is Salt Lake
City. Hi, Jimmy Buffett's coming to town. Margaritaville, no margaritas allowed.
That city is open from noon to five. It's noon to five. You can't order drinks without ordering food first.
It's a different world, man. I drove down there once or twice when I wasn't that far away, when I was living in that part of the country. And even if you went to like a Buffalo Wild Wings, you would go in there and they'd say, do you want to sit in the restaurant or the lounge area? The lounge. And basically, we ordered one beer and then they said, do you want to get an appetizer? I go, no, we're just getting drinks. I go, yeah, if you want to get another drink, you're going to need to order an appetizer. It's chips and dip every time we sat down to have a beer.
Yeah,
you have to.
Oh, no.
It's something that still exists over there. They obviously have different.
But I went to High West there and they just let me drink there.
Oh. I went to High West as well.
Nice distillery.
It is. So it's a cool town because it's scenic.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's beautiful, but not a town for libations.
Going to a Garth Brooks concert. And just so you
Lake,
don't
I
know,
get, I mean, that's
Nick's
incredible.
Girlfriend lives out of town.
She lives in Denver. So,
so you both traveled.
So for her, that was easy.
Was there not a Denver concert? Or a
not
different
for
artist?
Garth Brooks.
Couldn't Kenny Chesney line up? Because if she likes Garth Brooks, she clearly likes some other
country
artist.
It's not that I'm only going to go to one concert.
You know
this
that
year,
Garth Brooks just performs like 700 times a year, right?
I think that's actually not true.
Is
he
it just
performing
here? He
in
performs
like Cincinnati and Tulsa and Charlotte. And we thought Salt Lake, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is a nice town.
I mean, you picked a nice city, you know, this scenic wise, but you know,
not for a good vacation.
Tulsa would have been a little bit or easier trip for everybody involved.
What's the furthest you've ever traveled? Someone said Lawrence. That's as far as they'll go.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to make the same comment for a concert. The furthest you have about 25 minutes over to Sandstone.
That's
okay?
It.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a huge concert guy anyway. But I haven't traveled very far.
So you don't like live music?
No, I didn't say that. I haven't been to many concerts.
Concert.
Yeah, but I haven't been to that many concerts.
What's not that many? Like less than 10?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What about you?
I went to like more than that in a year in some of my lives. I mean, I don't know. I've probably been to 100.
Okay.
Probably been to 100 shows.
The wife says she wants to go out of town for her favorite artist.
It's not Garth Brooks, but yeah, okay.
How far are you going?
Again, maybe Denver. I've seen a concert with my wife in Denver. Like, I've been to Red Rocks. That wasn't the concert. But, like, I've gone that far. But that's that is really pushing it. And it's got to be around an already planned trip out there, I feel like. Like, I got to be out there for other things
really
and then
traveling.
One of my nights. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I just
like the people who love fish or whatever, they will drive like eight states away
to go
sit in a field to watch fish. And I can't be about that.
People will go to Chicago Millennium Park to go watch Dave Matthews Band and things like that.
How's it any different than traveling to watch your favorite team play
a road
game?
I'll do it for sporting events.
I won't do it for that either. I like to just plan it around a trip. Like, I'm going to be there. This can be something we do, But I'm not just traveling for that one solitary thing.
I just view sports a little different. Everybody, I mean, for me, I'm flying to Vegas in August to go watch Pacquiao and Spence. Like, that's why I'm going, and I'm going to meet up with some friends. But like, that's why I'm going to Vegas, and I love Vegas. But
yeah, this is just a priorities thing for you. It's not a distance thing. Yeah.
You'll go to Vegas in your lifetime to watch the Chiefs play the Raiders.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
He's just waiting for the tickets to go down.
Yeah, the ticket prices for that Chiefs-Raiders game are insane. Absolutely insane. That's right really now.
It. Denver's about as far as I'm willing.
Text line says they're 28, never been to a single concert.
How
it's really
that
not
possible?
That weird, text line says.
No, I think it's weird. Just because you don't think it's weird doesn't mean it's not weird.
I'm with you, Texter. I'm with you. I've only probably been to seven concerts. I've told on the
all
show.
All right, who are they? Well, we know a couple were in Houston. Like, the last concert you went to was you'd never suspect Migos or something. You'd be like, Gold? Migos concert? Impossible.
I've never paid for a concert ticket in my life, okay? If you give me free tickets. No, but I haven't been that many. Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Elitist.
Does it count if she performed at the Houston Rodeo? Cardi B. Yeah, I know. Great.
I don't know if it was a concert, but okay.
She performed there. Who
this
was
is
the other?
Nobody would have guessed your concert lineup being this old.
Train. Young the Giant.
They're good in concert.
Who else have I seen? Not many more than that, guys. That's about it. I'm thinking of there's one or two I'm missing.
Like, I don't know. We'd occasionally get those, like, free tickets to Red, White, and Boom and go see Poison or whatever. You didn't even, like, do that?
It sounds like you wind up at concerts accidentally. Yeah. Like, I showed up somewhere and Cardi B happened to be performing.
These are all last minute. No, these are all last minute things. We ended up with floor seats for Beyonce and Jay-Z. Long story there. Someone tried to scam us on tickets, and then we ended up getting it all for free because we've scammed them back. I think I've told the story on air.
Smart.
Yeah, text line. Some of this, they'd go to Vegas, LA, Seattle, Atlanta, or Miami. That's where they'd watch. Oh, you'd want to do other stuff.
Venue. Yeah, but that's it. I want to do other stuff. I'm not saying I wouldn't go to a concert on vacation.
Said they went to Australia once. Happened the same time for a Luke Bryan concert, so they went to the concert.
Okay.
I guess if I went overseas to another country, I don't know if I would. Unless I was planning on going to the concert, would you like waste your time in another country at a concert?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
No way.
Yeah, that's my only thing. I'm sure you had a nice time in Australia there at the concert. But like,
unless it's like the Beatles in a bar, no, I'm good. The remaining Beatles, you know, like no.
Paul McCartney.
It better be Paul McCartney doing a private show in a pub if it's going to be that. Like, it better earn it.
If you wouldn't see them in concert in town, why would you go see them?
Because they're on vacation, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, interesting.
We're all a little bit different. It's okay.
Garth Brooks in Salt Lake is great, though, by the way. I think it's
just
fantastic.
Like a weekend trip. And you couldn't even drink. That is nuts to
me. Part of Friends in Low Places when he gestures everybody to put their drinks in the air.
You see
a bunch of Aquafinas getting thrust into the air.
Oh, it's so awkward. It's
a good show, though. Mountains in the background.
Think of your Garth Brooks. You just can't schedule a city that's dry.
Somebody needs to introduce
Garth.
Yeah,
there's country music fans everywhere, you know?
He needs moisture-wicking technology in his life. That's a sweaty man.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens to weight gain. Just doesn't help.
Text line. This is an extremely nerdy sounding segment.
Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've listened to this show, presumably at some point. So
what show do you think you're tuning into?
This is a somewhat, although in fairness, Gold's like, I would never travel out of town to do this. And he told me a break. He's going to travel to Chicago just for a card convention.
So
if you think this show can't get dorky enough.
That's right, guys.
He's traveling out of town just for cards.
Yeah, that's next weekend going to Chicago. A buddy of mine convinced me he's really into it because we're starting this sports podcast on the 435 Podcast Network about cards and stuff. Some of you have asked for it, believe it or not. Some of you have, don't lie. And you all really want it, and so we're starting that, and he's into it even more than I am. So he said he'll pay for everything, and so we're driving to Chicago for this national card convention, and it's like 500,000 square feet of memorabilia and cards
for a bit
out.
For the show. We see if we can get you to sell like just the worst card I can find from my childhood? I mean, or just like a Rex Hudler sign card that we can get from him.
I'm going to be looking for more Bobby Witt Jr. stuff. I'm going to be looking for more Bobby Witt Jr. stuff when I go.
I want you to try to sell something that has no business. Like, I could probably get an autographed Mark Tien card by this amount of time. I just want you to go dealer to dealer to try to get that hawked.
They're going to be like, we're not buying that, or we'll give you a dollar. Like, it's going to be. I do have a couple friends that are giving me, if you've got any cards you think are worth any money, that they want me to try to sell them up there. So.
Okay.
All right.
I don't have that many, but sure.
Someone says the card convention in Chicago sounds like a great time. I think so as well. Cannot wait. Plus, I got to get me some Giordano's pizza. Cannot wait. All right, coming up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour. The trade deadline, there's one Royal in particular whose name's come up a little few times when it comes to executives across baseball. And do we agree that this is someone the Royals should move? That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.